Well, good morning, and let me begin with just a quick moment of personal privilege to say thank you for supporting me in serving on this staff for the last 6+ years. It's been a real joy. It kind of got started back in the fall of 2019 when I made an inquiry with Pastor Laura Brewster about whether she might be interested in just adding me to her staff on a very part-time basis, and I was pleased to hear that she thought that just might be possible. What neither of us could have anticipated was that she would be asking me to jump on board much sooner than we had expected, right as the pandemic was literally shutting everything down, and it was kind of a crisis time. It felt to me like I was walking into the middle, it was right in the middle of March 2020, walking into the middle of an emergency room where everyone was experimenting with new procedures that they had never tried before because we were dealing with problems we had never experienced before. How do you do church when you can't meet in person? Well, and as you know, by the grace of God, we found a way. And not only did the church manage to survive, but it found a way to thrive. And in some ways, the pandemic required us to be more purposefully focused on our mission and what really matters. And a year or so farther down the line, in July of the next year, Pastor JJ came to lead us, and I was very grateful for the way he has continued to welcome me and support my participation on this church staff over the last 5 years. It's been a real joy to be a part of a great church staff. Great to see how JJ has led us into a new era, really, of missional vitality, and a fun staff to be a part of, a privilege. It's about to get even better with the addition of a couple new pastors coming on board with Jacob Letterman and Cheryl Broom. Some of you already know Cheryl, and a couple of you have even been so bold to tell me, Ray, we love you, but we're really excited that Cheryl is coming. And don't worry, I feel exactly the same way. I'm delighted that my departure from staff is making room for Cheryl and her family to come and be a part of us, and she's going to take the part-time position I've had and make it blossom with her own unique personality and her gifts for ministry, and it's going to be fun. And Stacy and I are not leaving. We're going to continue to be part of the life of this church. I'm just stepping down off staff. So again, thank you very much. As we turn to Scripture this morning, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that as the Scripture is read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So let me begin this morning with a personal confession that it is slowly beginning to dawn on me that I have been around for quite a while. Not only have I been associated with this church for quite a while, but I've been taking up space on this planet for a pretty good chunk of time now. I mean, for example, I was a young 25-year-old, just graduated from divinity school when the United States celebrated its big bicentennial back in 1976. And I was a fresh new kid on the block, just breaking into the world of being an adult. And now here we are getting ready to celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States. And I have become one of those retirees who manages to keep hanging around trying to stay relevant. Well, be that as it may, one of the realities I have discovered in my spiritual life in this journey is that over the years, the longer I live, the more the gospel of Jesus Christ just grabs hold of me. The more I read the scriptures, particularly from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the more I find that the whole reality there just jumps off the pages, and it is amazingly fascinating, captivating, convicting, inspiring, mesmerizing, enlivening, energizing. And what is being described there in the middle of seemingly everyday, ordinary moments is the reality of God. God arriving in person to wake us up and to lead us on a path of incredible transformation. For example, in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, one day Jesus just shows up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and interrupts some young fishermen who are busy in the middle of their daily chores with their boats and their nets. Jesus says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And just like that, they drop their nets, left everything behind, and followed Jesus as if they had just been called to a five-alarm fire. There's no explanation. Well, maybe there was just some sense of urgency in the air, a sense of feeling that there were some bad vibes, that the world was in trouble, and somebody just needed to do something about it. Well, we're just kind of left to assume that there is something so powerfully captivating in Jesus' presence that they just knew immediately that they have to drop everything and go with him. Now, the way Luke tells the story, they have already seen evidence of great healing through Jesus. They've already seen him doing some great things. In Luke, when Jesus finally gets to Simon and Andrew there on the Sea of Galilee, they've just already had a terrible day with empty fishing nets, and it's been miserable. Jesus, nonetheless, sends them back out into the deep water to try again, and suddenly they are overwhelmed with more fish than their nets can possibly hold. And it's as if Jesus is saying to them, "You think this is a big catch? Wait till you see the worldwide fishing trip I have in mind for you." And they drop their nets, and they follow him. In John's gospel, it turns out that Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. One day when Andrew was with John as Jesus came walking by, John pointed to Jesus as the chosen one for whom John had been preparing the way. John testified that he saw the power of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, and that Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Andrew and another disciple followed Jesus that day. They named that other disciple. And then Andrew went home to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And suddenly a handful of the Baptist followers decided that Jesus was now the one they needed to follow. And here in John's gospel, all this excitement and gossip about Jesus is just starting to take off when, lo and behold, one of the great and highly esteemed leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night under the cover of darkness to confess that he wants to meet Jesus because, in Nicodemus's words, Jesus must be a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Nicodemus's own words. Now, this is where today's scripture reading begins. It's at the very beginning of the public ministry of Jesus while he is in Jerusalem for the Passover, and some followers are just beginning their journey with him. Nicodemus, who was part of that elite ruling class of the Jerusalem establishment, came to Jesus to confess that he also admires Jesus very much. And Nicodemus is admitting to Jesus that while it is kind of politically dangerous for him to say so, he knows that what Jesus is doing and what he is saying appears to be the work of God. Now, let me pause there and put this in the context of today's 24-hour news cycle. What Nicodemus did there would have been headline news today in our highly partisan world of political warfare. Powerful Jewish establishment office holder. He confesses that Jesus of Nazareth must be the legitimate man of God doing powerful signs from God. Stay tuned. Will he next confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? Now, I can't really tell from the reading here whether Jesus was in any way impressed with Nicodemus, but it was obvious that he was not content to pat Nicodemus on the back and welcome his sympathy. Instead, Jesus immediately confronted Nicodemus by telling him that he needed to be born of this whole new reality of the kingdom of God. Right away, the message here is actually a message for all of us, that following Jesus is not something we do casually. It's not just a matter of liking Jesus on Facebook or following him on X or Instagram or some other social media stream. Following Jesus is not like a special interest hobby that you decide to take up in your spare time. Following Jesus is not just about being into him, like, you know, the way you're into some rock star or pop icon or podcaster. It's not just about joining the Jesus fan club, not about getting a Jesus tattoo or some Jesus jewelry or a little Jesus statue on the dashboard. The way John describes it here in chapter 3, it's a little like Nicodemus coming to Jesus and saying, "Hey, I know you're an outsider, but I want you to know that I'm really into you. I think you're pretty cool and rad, and you speak the unfiltered truth." Following Jesus is not about joining a movement, supporting a cause the way we may join a political group or support the worthy nonprofit organization that we really care about. And it's not the same as just joining the group mentality and peer pressure of being seduced into cult hero worship. What Jesus invited Nicodemus to do and what Jesus invites us to do when it comes down to following him is to enter into the full reality of God's awesome holiness and love and to become a whole new creation born of God's Spirit and God's love. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above," Nicodemus said to him. "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me take a moment to pause here. Is everything okay back there? All right. Do we have some concerns we need to pray about? Okay. Well, let me continue. You know, many Christian revivals have focused on the idea of being born again as a kind of decision to believe in Jesus, that you make a one-time decision to believe in him, and it's all taken care of. But the further I go on my journey now, the more I recognize that the new birth to which Jesus is calling us is so much bigger than that, something that doesn't happen just once, but rather it's a birthing that is constantly happening in us and through us as we become transformed, as we become ever more fully alive in the reality of God's Holy Spirit and God's wondrously enormous love. And by the way, that's how John Wesley saw it also. Following Jesus isn't just about having a conversion experience, although it includes that. It's about a lifelong transformation of who you are and what your life is all about. And when it comes to being born from above, modern astronomy and modern physics are revealing how mind-blowingly enormous, how mysteriously wondrous God's universe really is. And at the same time, what a total miracle the gift of life is on this planet Earth. A total miracle. Knowing what we know today, I think the word kingdom is too small of an image for our modern minds. I would translate Jesus' message as being about entering the universe of God, being born of a wondrous reality, a life-giving love that is more enormous, more mysterious, more totally alive, and eternally continuous than our minds can begin to imagine. That, after all, is the reality from which we came. But as we grew up, our worldly vision and our earthly imagination became too small, too narrow, too limited, leading us to get lost in fear and darkness, becoming slaves to our own self-centeredness and addicted to spiritual poisons. So Jesus invites us to be born anew, born from above, born of God's Holy Spirit, and born of God's love, so that the way we can wake up to this mind-blowingly new creation of love and spiritual vitality that is the very power of God who wants to work in us and through us. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of my mentors, Father Henry Nouwen, put it this way. He says, when Jesus says, follow me, we enter into a different way of following because it's a call away from me and toward God. It's a call to let God enter into the center of our being. It's a willingness to let go of me and I and to gradually say, you, God, are the one. It's not only a way of searching for the self, but a way of emptying, a way of leaving the self in order to create space for a whole new way of being that is of God, creating room for God. We talk about this in different ways. It's like emptying yourself to make room for the vitality of God's Spirit. It's like dying to something that is already dead in order to be born to something that is becoming eternally new and ever more abundantly alive. It's like dying and being raised to a new life, which is what the symbolism of our baptism is all about in the first place. Dying with Christ and being raised with him, born from above. Come and follow me. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Come and follow me. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to let go of the fears, the obsessions that consume so much space and energy in our daily lives. Help us to drop our nets to follow where Jesus leads. Help us to let go of fear. Help us to relax our self-concern and anoint us afresh with the power and gifts of your Holy Spirit.
Fill our hearts with the gifts of your love and ignite new life-giving spiritual energy within us to help us live boldly in acts of compassion, love, faith, and generosity and service to you and our neighbors. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.